Welcome to the Sportscast, December 20th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe and hit the notification buttons in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. I appreciate it. The National Signing Day was an amazing day for a lot of teams. But one team that won it all, and they definitely were, you know, up there as number one in the rankings. No one could actually touch them because they were that good. And to join us to talk to us a little bit about what happened yesterday is Justin Riley. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Great to be here, especially after a completely amazing early signing day for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yes, and I think your top signing was Trey Sanders, and also Tuel's little brother, Talia, I believe is his name. How do you feel about these two players? And obviously, you guys got four stars, a lot of four-star players. What are your thoughts about this year's recruitment class?
Pretty exciting recruiting class. This has probably turned out to be, as far as I believe, Alabama's best recruiting class to date. Alabama's had some pretty serious number one classes over the years, but from all reports, this definitely tops them all. Pretty exciting stuff yesterday, like you said, man. I guess the crowning achievement is Trey Sanders from IMG Academy, just an absolute stud running back, the top running back in the country. He chose us over some solid competition, and Georgia being one of those. So that was pretty huge for us to grab and to bring into the fold as we continue to be the continuous running back U. I think that we will do well with him in our backfield, especially as we expect, of course, Damien Harris to depart for graduation as well as the NFL, and more than likely Josh Jacobs will be departing to the NFL as he is being graded high in this year's upcoming draft. So he will definitely add to an already stacked backfield with Najee Brian Robinson for next season. Another thing of note, Alabama did a great job beefing up the offensive line with the star of the lineman class being Evan Neal, the 6'8", 391-pound offensive tackle who chose us over the Florida Gators, Georgia Bulldogs, and your Miami Hurricanes. That's just a mountain of a man. I mean, can you think about that? 6'8", 391 pounds, man. That's a Buick. And then, of course, local talent, we got Pierce Quick out of Hewitt, as well as Bear Bryant descendant Paul Tyson at quarterback, too, out of Hewitt Trustful. This is going to be a pretty interesting thing to watch as we sign two of the top quarterbacks and going into this year's class to see how that's going to play out as far as playing time and all that good stuff. But other things I was really, really impressed with is we're able to flip highly coveted safety Jordan Battle from Ohio State. Ohio State kind of had some blows yesterday that have hurt their recruiting class, which before yesterday was shaping up to be pretty impressive, but they had some decommits to us and as well as Georgia, I believe, that really hurt them. One thing that was disappointed in as we lost N'Kobe Dean, the number one linebacker of this year's class. He went over to Georgia. However, we did manage to pick up Shane Lee, a stud linebacker out of St. Francis Academy in Baltimore. This dude is 6 foot even, 243 pounds. Man, that's a senior. That's a kid. Kids aren't supposed to be 243 pounds, and if you hadn't seen this guy, just think about The Rock, but younger. Yeah, he's that big. We also were able to get linebacker Christian Harris right out of Baton Rouge, able to take that away from Coach O. So pretty big pickups there. And a defensive end, pretty excited to get Antonio Alfano right out of New Jersey. We seem to be having a lot of success here as of late, nabbing some recruits from up north. But the thing I'm most excited about, and a lot of Alabama fans are most excited about, no, not Trey Sanders, but picking up the number one kicker, Will Richard. this guy hasn't proven anything yet, but definitely gives us hope because we have had woeful kicking games over the past several seasons. So maybe this will be the turn that we have been looking for. But overall, pretty excited about this year's class. The people that I noted here earlier, pretty big gets. I mean, I wasn't able to cover absolutely everybody. But, yeah, I thought we did pretty good.
Yeah, Alabama's class sits at 23 signings with three additional unsigned commitments, not including Sanders. There was a talk on ESPN this morning about will there be a quarterback competition next year with the new recruits. What do you think?
Well, I definitely think so because a lot of these guys are going to be able to contribute early for positions. We got some guys departing for the NFL, especially at safety. Deontay Thompson will more than likely be going to the NFL. He will probably be a first-round pick. And there really is no solid set starters for next year other than probably Patrick Surtain Jr. You know, Shaheen Carter will be coming back next year. But he will be competing for that position with these new guys. So I think it's going to be open on great competition to watch. There's a star-studded cast that's going to be coming in as freshmen. So it's going to be interesting to watch just how good they are, how much they'll develop, how quickly they will develop, and how soon they'll be able to contribute.
Yeah, it's something that I think Alabama has won the recruiting race ever since Nick Saban has been around. What do you think about that one player that flew back to Michigan? His name is Daxton Hill. He was first committed to Michigan, then flipped to Alabama, then he flipped back to Michigan. What were your thoughts about that loss?
Let him go. I'm perfectly okay with that. We were able to get one of the top cornerbacks in Jeffrey Carter. Stole him right from under Texas A&M. So where one misses out, another one steps in. I'm not too terribly concerned about it. You know, God bless him. Let him do what he's got to do. I mean, if he wants to be on a team that competes for second place in the Big Ten every year, still winning titles, let him do it.
Yeah, it's it happens. A lot of flips, but also Alabama got some flips from other players that were committed with other teams, and they got them. That's something that Alabama has that strength. You know, hey, like you were saying, if you want to win a championship, you have a good chance to do it in Alabama.
Absolutely, and that's always going to be the biggest selling point for these kids who are prospects coming in. Is that year after year, Alabama is competing for the SEC championship, but they're also competing year after year for the college football playoffs and for a national title. You know, if they haven't been in the national title game, then they have been in the mix for majority of the season. So there's a strong possibility that these kids will be able to come in and get that opportunity that not many people can offer to them. So, yeah, that's always going to be a big selling point for as long as Nick Saban is able to keep this train going.
Georgia, which is in your conference, is ranked number two. They got a good player, Nolan Smith, which they say he's the best recruit. Do you think Georgia has improved their recruiting game in these past couple of years?
Absolutely, man. There's been a complete about face. Ever since the coaching change, doing some great things and were able to do it pretty quickly. You could see a dramatic turnaround last year. I believe they signed the best class, if I'm not mistaken, and their players have just gotten progressively better each year. And Georgia looks to be the team to beat for the future, and they are competing with Alabama as one of the top teams in the country, as well as the SEC. So they're able to get those recruits in and those big-time recruits. And it looks like Georgia's going to have staying power. The question is, will Georgia be able to make that jump, that next level, and getting that national championship?
Yeah, that's always that great question. But I think Georgia's definitely making a great, great recruiting class going. What do you think about Justin Fields requesting a transfer?
Man, he is following the ever-increasing trend of young quarterbacks not willing to wait their turn and develop and get it and earn their spot. He's just another name in the endless list of take my toys and go home quarterbacks. It's just been amazing to see this trend, and I believe there's an amazing stat. I forgot when the trend actually started. Past several seasons, the top recruited quarterback has transferred out of the school they initially signed with. So it's kind of a disturbing trend. You know, it just amazes me how no one wants to wait anymore. No one wants to develop and grow and earn that spot. This, like, give it to me now or I'm out. Certainly players like Jalen Hurts are a rarity in college football these days. It's absolutely absurd. And, you know, and it's really unfair to teams and coaches who are trying to build something special at their respective schools not be able to rely on the people that they're going after. They can't successfully build a team or plan to build a team because they don't know if their recruit, especially a quarterback, is going to be there the next season just because something doesn't quite go their way. I think these are spoiled babies who are part of the entitlement generation, and they just need to shut up, quit whining, and, you know, earn your stripes.
Yeah, there is rumors that he might go to Ohio State.
Yeah, they from what all reports are saying, are the leading candidate in this. It had been mentioned earlier that he might possibly go to Oklahoma. Oklahoma just got a top quarterback out of this year's recruiting class. But, you know, with the departure of Kyler Murray, Justin Fields there would probably be the obvious starter if he were to go. But reports are showing a strong leaning towards Ohio State. Also, too, there's been some mention of Penn State in the mix. If those of you don't know, before he flipped to Georgia, he actually was possibly going to Penn State. So that might play a factor in the carousel here that is Justin Fields and his teams. So it'd be something interesting worth watching.
Yeah, let's see what happens. And also, you know, keep an eye on Hurts. You know, will he transfer? I think all signs point to that. He has a year of eligibility, and, I mean, we'll see where he goes.
Absolutely. Again, as an Alabama fan, and I think I can speak for a majority of Alabama fans, we understand that he will be leaving us and possibly going to another school, maybe even a rival school or another SEC school. But he is going to put himself in the best position to be successful. And we are not going to be bitter as a fan base towards him. I mean, we love him and appreciate him. And he is going to be forever known as a legend in Alabama football history. So however he chooses to better himself, whether it be going to another team for his remaining year of eligibility or possibly going to the NFL, we're going to be happy for him. We'll be cheering for him. And it'd just be interesting to see how his story plays out. I think that he'll probably test the waters of the NFL and, after talking to experts, see how he's going to be graded and where he may fall. And then I think he'll make his decision based on that. as to either going pro or using his remaining year of eligibility. But it's just going to be interesting to see what he does and where he could be more proud of the guy. And he's definitely a story that all of these up-and-coming kids need to watch and pay special attention to.
Yeah, so you're saying there is a possibility he could enter the NFL draft?
I think so. I think that he is going to talk to experts, and he's going to kind of get a feel of what coaches and GMs are thinking about him and how he grade out, not only as a quarterback, but possibly other positions as well. And I think it's a possibility that he may opt for the NFL. I don't think it may be as strong as him transferring to another school to refine himself, but I think it's a possibility.
Yeah, you're right, because, I mean, if he goes to a new school, he has to adjust to the system, the program. But, I mean, he's been playing good ball this season. I mean, he's come up big against Georgia. I mean, I don't see why not.
Well, it's been amazing to watch his development over the course of this season. Quarterbacks coach Dan Enos, who has been promoted to offensive coordinator after the departure of Mike Locksley, has really spent some time developing him, taking his weaknesses and turning them into strengths. Jalen has become a much better passer. He has been a much better decision maker. In the past, he was one who would not have his primary target open and would just take off, and he wouldn't look at his other options. Now he's making all of his reads. He's scanning the field, and he's making good decisions. And it looks like his ball placement is much, much better. I think that his throwing is much, much better. And I think he, of course, is a great leader. And I think that's improved as well. Can he get better? Absolutely. He has made tremendous strides this season over last season. So I think he has tremendous upside, and I think that has really improved his case for a possible NFL jump.
Yeah, I mean, he has name recognition. He has experience. You know, he started all last season. He played most of the second halves this season, so there's a possibility. I mean, why go through another transfer, enter the NFL draft? Will it be a first round? Maybe towards the end of the first round. Maybe not. Maybe second, third round for sure. But he does have some, have some value. But we'll see what happens in the next game or two. You know, will he get playing time? You know, will Tuel be healthy? Will he play a second half? You know? We just got to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that he will get playing time. I think that he is going to be thrown into the mix, and I think some offensive packages are going to be put into place to use him, because he certainly is very valuable. Of course, we as Alabama fans have known that, with his two seasons as a starter, but also this season when he came in and was the savior of the SEC championship.
Exactly. Speaking about the playoffs, do you believe the expansion should be expanded to 6 or 8 teams?
I think eventually you will absolutely have to, because there's going to be some situations that come up. They're going to cause great debate and great scrutiny and controversy as far as certain teams not getting in. I think you're going to have to expand that. I mean, there was a much argument going into that final weekend, because you've got teams like Washington State, up until their blunder against Washington, we're looking at a possible one-loss season, and who may have possibly won their conference, but would not have got as much as a sniff to get into for a playoff spot. You have Ohio State, who had one loss, albeit a very bad loss. They won their conference. They didn't get in. There are going to be some Power 5 conferences. They're going to have a champion, perhaps more than one conference, and they're not going to get in. There's going to be strong arguments for, you've got these teams who win their conferences with no losses or one loss, mainly the one loss teams, and they're not going. They won't get in. So yeah, you're going to have to expand the field.
If they do expand, if they expand to eight, do you think the regular season should be adjusted? Maybe cut a game.
I think you need to, just because it takes such a toll on these players' bodies. You know, the season's already long as it is. You know, they're playing 12, 13 games. Then they have postseason for some of these people. They have two extra games. So I think you'll have to cut something somewhere. Perhaps one of those little cupcake weeks, just so that the season can be shortened a little bit. And just allow the players less wear and tear on their bodies.
Yeah, which is the thing with football compared to basketball. Football has more wear and tear on the body. You can only play so much. You know, obviously that's why football is only no more than 6 months, because it's just one of those things where. In basketball, you're able to last longer and play, like the 64-team bracket. So,
the thing with basketball as opposed to football is the probability for serious contact is very low. Well, yes, they do take bumps and bruises in basketball, but not to the degree of football. The physicality level is so much greater in football. So, yeah, there is a big difference. That's why you can't play as many games as, a college basketball team.
Josh Gordon I don't think he's suspended, but he's leaving the team to take care of his mental issues. What are your thoughts about that, and what implicates that for the Patriots?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know why the guy wasn't put in a straitjacket a long time ago to begin with. However, the Patriots, they gave him a chance. They're the team that's always going to give that woeful wanderer player who can't quite get right another chance to rejuvenate and possibly save their career. So, they try to bring him into the fold and I guess be his NFL rehab to possibly get him back on track. But we're unable to do it because now he claims that, he doesn't have it together again. Not that he ever had it together to begin with. And he's leaving. And the thing is, that I believe him stepping away violates part of some agreement he had to be reinstated. So he is possibly facing a ban or suspension from the NFL if he does indeed choose to do this. And how does this hurt the Patriots? To be honest with you, he really wasn't contributing that significantly. So I don't feel like it's going to be an issue for them at all.
Rick Pitino is back in coaching. He's doing, he's be coaching in a team in the Euro League. And he's back. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think that you are eventually going to see him return at some point. I think that everybody deserves a second chance. Yes, certainly he was involved in some pretty legitimately bad things, but I think he's got a chance to possibly redeem himself. Interesting that he's using the route of a European league, but hey, it's a chance. It's an opportunity. And I think if he's able to be successful over there, he more than likely won't be there very long. And I'm sure a top-tier college team is going to be calling him again and try to give him that window of grace to return to the collegiate ranks. He's obviously one of the best coaches of all time. I think that his involvement with the scandal here that got him ousted from Louisville is going to be an asterisk on his record or on his resume. However, if you're able to put that aside, he is one of the best coaches of all time. He's been successful at any school he's been at. He's won national titles at more than one school. Wasn't very successful at the NBA, but he's just one of those coaches who was great in college and just not able to transition to the pro game. But, that doesn't really count against him. But I think he, because of what he's accomplished, should be given another chance. And, you know, if he screws up again, you know, away with him. But, you know, it's going to be an interesting story to watch. And like I said, if he's able to have some success over there and teams here feel confident that he has mended his himself, then he'd be given a chance pretty quickly. And we'll be allowed to come back here.
I do believe in second chances. He's a good coach, phenomenal coach. We'll see what happens with Rick Pitino. Anyways, we're coming towards the end of the show. Are you ready for game predictions?
I am.
Let's go for the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, Western Michigan versus BYU.
Man, that's one of the greatest bowl games out there. I don't care what you say, man. The Potato Bowl. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And they get to
nice
play
to
on the blue field.
Exactly.
I mean, that blue field's pretty legitly awesome, man. I love it. What does the winner get? Like a sack of potatoes or like, I don't know what. Anyway, I got to go with BYU in this one. I think they're a stronger team than Western Michigan.
Houston versus Army.
One of the prides of the...
For the Armed Forces Bowl.
Houston versus Army. The Armed Forces Bowl with Army. Imagine them going there. The Armed Forces Bowl.
What are the chances? What are the odds?
Army has had a... Yeah, I know, right? No one ever dreamed that. Army, man, what a pretty phenomenal season they've had, especially when, from a historic standpoint, they've never really been known to boast that what much of a good record, to say the least. But I believe they've only lost, like, what, two games this year. They came close to beating Oklahoma. A really, really, really great thing to watch the Army squad do. I think this game has lost a little bit of luster because of Houston's highly coveted defensive player opting out of the bowl game to prepare for the NFL, so it loses a little bit of watchability. But it's still going to be an interesting team, interesting game. Who have two teams that are pretty good to watch. Doesn't really have a whole lot of notoriety in it, but it's going to be interesting. I think Army will continue their success and continue to set even more records for their university and win this one.
Let's go to the NFL, the Ravens at the Chargers.
Man, I tell you what, the Chargers are definitely one of the hottest teams in the NFL this year. That up until maybe a few weeks ago, nobody really has been paying that much of attention to, which is absolutely ridiculous. But they're playing some of their best ball right now. And so they're in prime position right now for going into the playoffs. However, I do believe that my Ravens, who are still trying to march towards that playoff, are going to win this game. I declare the upset. The Ravens win it.
The Ravens win with Lamar Jackson. The Bengals at the Cleveland Browns. And the Browns have a shot to
go
to the
playoffs. Browns, man. The Browns are going to do it, man. I believe the Browns will win this game, and they will somehow find themselves in the playoffs.
That'd be awesome if they did. That'd be an incredible story to talk
about. Oh, man, I'm ready to see it.
Let's go with the Bills at the Patriots.
My question is, how is New England's resolve right now? How is their psyche, man? Because they just can't quite get together. You know, 2 weeks in a row, they just have sputtered and floundered around. Are they going to be able to regain that poise and that moxie that they're known for? Or are they just going to continue to drown in this abyss of dismalness? You know, this is definitely a winnable game for them. But my question is, are the Patriots going to be able to get it together? Yeah, I think that Cincinnati is going to give them a run. But I think somehow, despite how bad they're playing right now, the Patriots will win this game.
Patriots win. Steelers at the Saints.
Got to go with the Saints, man. I think that this is the week the offense comes back and is able to do a little something against the Pittsburgh Steelers and march towards the playoffs and possibly the Super Bowl.
I agree. That could very well happen. The Chiefs at the Seattle Seahawks.
Got to go with the Seahawks, man. I don't really believe in the Chiefs right now, even though they've done some pretty amazing things this season, especially with Mahomes, who isn't quite as hot lately. Got to go with the surging Seahawks, who are a very tough team, like Russell Wilson and company, man. I believe they get it done.
It should be a quite entertaining game. And the random question of the week, if you could have only one kitchen appliance, what would it be?
Can opener, man, because that can open as any kind of food source there is. Whereas if you had a fork and knife or something like that, you couldn't do anything with it. So it's a multi-purpose tool. You got to go with that.
Wow. Anyways, thank you, Justin. I guess next week we'll be back for the bowl previews.
I'm ready for it, man. I'm going to have something special for you. Get ready.
It is the biggest show of the year. Obviously, there's one after that to preview the championship, which I guess you're hoping Alabama will go through, which is a good possibility. But, Justin, how can people talk to you about SEC if SEC did not have a good recruiting year? How can people reach you?
12-1 training. That's number 12-1 spelled out training at gmail.com. Find me on Facebook /12-1training. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at 12-1 training. So please holler at me, especially within the next couple of weeks, man. Especially New Year's coming up, man. It's time to set those fitness goals in place, and I can help you do it.
Let's go hit the iron. Please subscribe on YouTube, Periscope, Facebook, iTunes. Leave a review, comment, share. And we'll be back next week for the bowl series because it only gets better in college football. Justin Riley, I appreciate you coming on to the SportsCast.
Glad to be here for another week, man. Looking forward to next week.